In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Word of God for our second sermon under the general theme, Names of Wondrous Love, is St. John. We read in chapter 18, beginning at verse 3. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled, "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. In eternity, God the Father determined that he would send his eternal Son into the flesh, that eternal Son would become a small gathering of cells in the womb of a virgin, and would be born a helpless child. By becoming a true human being, the eternal Son would be able to take our place, both under the law and up on the cross. We know Jesus' response to his Father's plan, and that is that he was willing to come into this world, and his heart, like his Father's, was filled with wondrous love for sinners that he would carry out in the flesh. That was an eternity. When the fullness of time came, the eternal Son, in his divine nature, became also a human being. He didn't give up his deity, but he added humanity. He became the God-man with a divine nature and a human nature. Then he would be able to be our substitute. As God, the Son gives the law. As man, he was under the law. As the God-man, he was able to obey the law perfectly and have that perfect obedience imputed to all sinners. As God, the eternal Son, cannot die. As a true human being, he is subject to death as the wages of sin. As the God-man, he died under God's wrath and punishment, and his sacrifice was able to count again for all sinners. The prophet Isaiah, about 8 centuries before Jesus was born, gave a name to this miracle. We're most familiar hearing it around Christmas time. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. In his gospel, St. Matthew wrote that after the angel Gabriel came to Joseph in a dream and explained to him what was going on with Mary's pregnancy, Matthew added in there that all of this was done to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah. And then he quoted this prophecy. Emmanuel, God with us. Not just God among us, but God who was like one of us. And this evening, based on Luke's account of Jesus here, we're going to look at that name of wondrous love, Emmanuel, God with us. And we'll look first of all at the proof of that name, and then secondly, we'll see the promise of that name. When the eternal Son of God became a true human being, he never stopped being God. In fact, that's still true. Jesus is still true God and true man in one person. But more often than not, during his humiliation, Jesus did not reveal his deity, his power in his divine nature. But from time to time, think back to Transfiguration, think of the other miracles that we looked at in Epiphany, Jesus let that glory be seen. And tonight, we see it, along with some other people. Think about Malchus, holding on where there hadn't been anything, and blood was pouring out of his head, now feeling his right ear back attached to his head, as Jesus had, with a touch, put it back and had healed the fact that Peter had cut off his ear. We can well imagine that Malchus was wondering if, to himself, if not aloud, who is this Jesus? What power does he have? We read that the Roman soldiers and the detachment of soldiers and leaders from the temple, that they came into that dark garden of Gethsemane with torches and lanterns. Why? Well, because it was dark in there. And there were a lot of trees to hide behind, thinking that this so-called criminal that they were going to arrest, they'd have to shine the light and search him out. But it wasn't really shaping up that way. Jesus, John tells us, not Luke, John tells us that Jesus went out to them and said, who are you looking for? And then when they answered him and said, Jesus, Joshua, the one from Nazareth, and Jesus said, I am he, that the power of God's word knocked them, pushed them on their backs. They were armed with swords because they fully expected a fight from Jesus' disciples so that they wouldn't be able to take him. And what did they hear? Jesus telling Peter to put his sword away. In all of these instances, we see the proof in that name, Emmanuel. Finally, they arrested him. Or did they really? Isn't it more that Jesus handed himself over to them? Jesus could have, with a single word, called countless angels down from heaven to surround him. With a single word, Jesus could have not just knocked them on their backs, but struck them all dead. But Jesus, God with us, shows his power in his willingness and his desire in wondrous love and obedience to his Father's will to be tied, to be bound, even though he knew that this road led to the cross. Don't Isaiah's other words in chapter 53 come to mind? He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Here is proof of that name, that Jesus Christ is no ordinary man. He is the God-man, willingly obeying his Father's plan of salvation and manifesting wondrous love for us sinners. In verse 4 of our text, John says, Jesus, knowing that all this was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" Jesus asked that question in spite of the fact that he knew about the spit and the cruel punches that he was going to take in the face and his head. He knew all about the thorny crown that would puncture his skull. He knew all about the horrible whip that would literally tear to shreds his back. He knew about the heavy spikes that they would drive into his extremities that were strong enough to hold him up on a cross. He knew the spiritual anguish of being forsaken by his Father and suffering eternal damnation in hell. And yet, in spite of knowing all of that, Jesus said, "I am He." And He handed over His arms for them to tie them up so that they could lead Him away to go through all of those things for us. Jesus' willing love for sinners tied His hands together tighter than any rope could ever hold them. It was His obedience and His love that held those ropes in place. Not because He was some ordinary human being who was powerless to get out of them. Emmanuel is His name. We have witnessed that proof that He is God with us. And now we want to look at the promise also of that name. First of all, we look at the promise of that name, Emmanuel, in connection to God's plan of salvation. Our God is not far off from us. He is not way away, and every once in a while He takes a peek to see how we're doing. Our God is with us each and every day in His Word. The promise of that name, Emmanuel, is the promise of the living Word that is with us, revealed by the Spirit in the written Word. The promise of that name is that His true body and blood, that same body and blood tied up, arrested, beaten, and crucified, forsaken, that same body and blood is given to you and to me for the forgiveness of our sins in the Lord's Supper. We heard last Sunday, as our Savior walks among the golden lampstands, as He fulfills His promise that He is in our midst whenever we gather together in His name. Our Savior, the promise of that word, that name, God with us, is Jesus saying to us, "Go in peace, your sins are forgiven." That name is also a wonderful promise to us in the midst of our troubles. Jesus knows trouble. He knows conflicts. He endured them, same as we do. Have you ever grieved in your heart over losing a loved one? Jesus wept at the tomb of his good friend Lazarus. Is there temptation in your life that never seems to leave you alone, that is always right there trying to get you to sin? Jesus understands that. Jesus wasn't tempted by Satan for only 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Satan tempted Jesus every day of his life to try to get him to sin. Have your friends despised, forsaken you? Jesus certainly knows about that, doesn't he? Jesus understands exactly when that happens. Not only does Jesus know about the grief and the temptations and the troubles and the difficulties that we go through, as the God-man, he has been tempted in all things as we are, but he is without sin. And the promise there for us is that he will either take those things away or will give us the strength to stand up under them. When it's two steps forward, one step backward on the path of our sanctified living, Jesus knows. When my sinful nature gets the upper hand in my life in its battle against the new man, Jesus knows. And he has that promise of that name, "I've already forgiven you. I've already died on the cross, and my blood has already covered over every one of those sins. I remember those sins no more. I will strengthen you in word and sacrament so that you can walk more closely with me. I am Emmanuel. I am God with you, not just next to you, but like you." And finally, that promise of God with us is a comfort, isn't it? In our last hours, when we must walk through the valley of the shadows. What comfort to be able to say, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Jesus walked that path of death before us. And like Jesus, our walk on that path will lead to the end, where we will say in the power of that name, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Jesus let his enemies tie him so that he could untie us from the bonds of service to Satan and the chains of the fear of death and confinement in hell. With the crimson scissors of his blood, Jesus Christ has cut us free. Free from Satan. Free from sin. Free from death. Free from hell. Free to live for him. And free to live with him forever in heaven. Holy Spirit, enable us never to lose sight of Emmanuel, God with us, his name of wondrous love. Amen.